Hi, this is Rabbi Erich Levy. I'm pleased to bring to you the 10th and 11th Mishnah of Perek Tet, the 9th chapter of Bava Metzia for OU Shnayim Mishnah program. And first, a word on Shemitah, or as it's called in Sefer Vayikra, Shanat Shabbat Shabbaton. The agricultural cycle in Israel is 7 years, and for the first 6 years, the produce of your fields belongs to you. Which means that you can harvest it en masse, the whole thing belongs to you, minus certain deductions for charities, peya, leket, and shecha, and certain tithes for the kohen, the levi, and sometimes for the poor person, twice out of 6 years for the poor person, and four times out of 6 years you get to actually keep it yourself, but you have to eat it in Yerushalayim or exchange it for money and then go eat ice cream in Yerushalayim. But the seventh year of this seven-year cycle, that you can't harvest at all, and you can't sow at the end of the sixth year in preparation for the harvest of the seventh year. Essentially, you don't have to let the food rot, and you're allowed to eat it, but you eat it like everybody else eats it, Jew, non-Jew, whether they own the field, they don't own the field, you could all just go to the field, you pluck a bunch of fruit, whatever will last you, whatever is good for a meal or the day, you eat it like everybody else eats, it's a free-for-all, and that's all you can do with that field. So, Hamakabel Sadami Chaviro Lishavua Echat Bishva Meot Zuz Hashviit Mina Minyan. So if you accepted to work a land and you specified, oh, I'm going to work this land for a Shavua, which doesn't mean 7 days, but it means not a week of days, but it means a week of years, 7 years. And you agree to a price of 700 Zuz. The seventh year, which you do not get to make a profit on because you don't get to harvest the land, that you still are responsible for. And that's because you said the word Shavua, and the intent was clear that you're going to purchase it for a single block of time, meaning that you still owe the 700. You can't pretend that you were renting it for seven blocks, 100 each, but one of the blocks doesn't really count, because once you say Shavua, it's one whole block. However, if you did accept it for 7 years, and you stipulated 7 years, meaning seven blocks of a year each, for 100 per block, 100 per year, you do not have to pay the $100, the 100 zuz, on the last year. You get to deduct that from the price, because everybody understood that you were purchasing it, A, in separate units, and that the last of those units, or one of those seven units, the Shemitah year, was not a functional unit, and therefore you really didn't mean to pay that $100 for that anyway. You only owe the guy $600. And that's it. After a stream of Mishnot on farm rentals, we now move on to hired workers, or people rentals. Mishnah Yud Aleph. The Torah stipulates that you cannot hold back payments from workers. That is, once they're finished with the job, you got to pay them, or you transgress actually two laws from the Torah. The Mishnah explains how long you can hold back, and in the future Mishnahs, we'll see that there are certain circumstances where you can sort of hold back paying, but essentially, how long can you hold on to the money before you wind up transgressing the Torah's law? Schir yom goveh kol alayla. If you hire a day worker, you have until that day and through the next night to pay up, meaning you have until the sun rises on the day after he did the work, and then he better have his payments. But before that, you have until sunrise to pay him for the work that he did during the previous day. Schir laila goveh kol ayom. If the guy was hired for a full nighttime block, then essentially you have until the next sundown to pay him up. So essentially, very loosely speaking, assuming that we're talking about 12 hours of night and 12 hours a day, which of course only happens twice a year, unless you live in Ecuador. So you have 12 hours from essentially when the guy finishes up his or her work to pay up. Schir sha'ot, but if you hire the guy on an hourly basis, goveh kol halayla v'chol hayom. So literally that means you have all night and all day to pay up. But that doesn't really work out at all. So the Gemara explains what the Mishnah meant was, if you hired an hourly worker at night, you have only until the end of that night, because you were paying him hour to hour. So as soon as he's finished working during that night, you got to pay up that night. If the hourly worker was hired by you for daylight hourly work, then you have till sundown on that day. So it's much more limited than hiring somebody for a full day block of time. Schir Shabbat, Schir Chodesh, Schir Shana, Schir Shavua. So if you hire a guy for weekly work, Shabbat here doesn't mean to work on Shabbat, it means for the week of for 7 days. or a chodesh, monthly, or yearly, or 7 year work, 7 years of work. So yatsa bayom, on the day that he finishes work, if he finished the work on that the day, go ve'kol hayom, you have only that day until sundown to pay the person what you owe them. Yatsa balayla, but if the guy stopped his long term work at night, that is, I don't know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, he was finished with his 7 years of work or 1 month of work. Go ve kol alayla v'chol hayom. So then you have the rest of that night and the next day, which essentially means that when it comes to long-term workers, you're really going to the end of the Jewish day, which starts at night. So if the guy was stopped off during the previous day, so since the new day starts during daytime, that is, since the new day starts at sunset, you got to get that money in by sunset. But if the guy worked till 2 hours past sunset, he's essentially working into the next day, and therefore you have the full Jewish day to pay him back, which would mean until the sunset of the next day.